If you will turn with me now in your Bibles, not to Hebrews yet, but we're going to turn first to Genesis. I'm going to turn to Genesis chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. Then we will flip over to Hebrews and look at Hebrews 11 verse 4. Going to Genesis because we're getting the background to Hebrews 11 4, a background that would have been well known to the individuals to whom the letter to the Hebrews is written, being Jews. The background is the story of Cain and Abel, probably a story that most of you are familiar with. But let's hear God speak beginning in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1. We'll read through verse 15, and then we'll jump over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Hear now the word of God. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and a vagabond you shall be on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Let us turn over then to Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read verse 4, and that'll be our text with the backdrop of Genesis chapter 4 for this evening. So Hebrews 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it, he being dead still speaks. Thus far, God's holy word. Let us now pray. God, your word is given to us so that we might be instructed as to who you are and how you are to be worshipped. We see here the illustration of faith that Abel gives to us through his offering, which you respected, that you accepted, that you received. Oh God, help us to understand how we are to approach you. Help us to understand how we are to come before you so that by faith, like Abel, we can come and approach you, a holy God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when I was growing up, I remember on the TV seeing these advertisements for I don't know who the publisher was, but it was a video series on the Civil War, the U.S. Civil War. And somewhere in this advertisement on TV, they would always say this phrase, brother against brother. Because in the U.S. Civil War, there were those family splits. One brother sided with the Union, the other with the Confederacy, and here you had a family division. Brother against brother. One wearing gray, one wearing blue. And so when I think of brother against brother, of course, biblically, we certainly think of Cain and Abel, don't we? We might say that those brothers who were against brothers in the U.S. Civil War were certainly not the first. They won't be the last. But the first we see given to us in Scripture is this, we might call it an internal family civil war between Cain and Abel. Now think about this. Adam and Eve, they've sinned. They've been cast out of the garden. They've gone to the east. God has graciously given them the promise that the seed of the woman will crush the head of the seed of the serpent. But there will be enmity between those two seeds. And right out the bat, the first children, Cain and Abel, are a vivid illustration of that enmity. We have Cain representing the seed of the serpent, Abel, the seed of the woman. They're at war. And at least here we see that Cain, the wicked son, kills Abel, the righteous one. We have in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and following, the first sibling rivalry. And it ends in murder. Think about Adam and Eve. We're not told much about them and what was going on, but we do know that Seth was provided later. They lose Abel to death, and they lose Cain to apostasy. He is sent further away. They've got one son who rejects God and the other son who is dead. Now, as a parent, that would break my heart. And that's what we have here. But Abel is held up by the author of Hebrews as an example, as an illustration of faith. In fact, verse 4, by faith. John Calvin says that it is the author's aim to show that at every point in the history of the world, God was pleased by faith alone. Another commentator, name of Hughes, says that there were four historical periods that are brought out in Hebrews chapter 11. The first is the pre-flood, you might call it that, the pre-flood phase. Abel, Enoch, and Noah. The pre-Mosaic phase, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. The Mosaic phase, Moses himself. And then post-Mosaic, Rahab and others that he brings up. But the point is that the illustration or the term given by faith used some 18 times is the main point. It's always been by faith and never by anything else. Whether it's Old Testament or New Testament, approaching God happens by faith. And Abel is just the first in a long line of examples that brings out the truth of what we've already seen. If you look back with me in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, we read, "The just shall live by faith." And Abel, Jesus says elsewhere, is called by his nickname Abel the Righteous or Abel the Just. And so Abel is the first in a long line of individuals in Hebrews chapter 11 who lives by faith. But also what we see here in verse 4 and this distinction between Cain and Abel is really ultimately a story about worship. It's a story about worship. It's a story about two types of worshipers and two types of worship. Cain and Abel were biological brothers, but they couldn't have been more different. They couldn't have been more different. They had two very different hearts. I hope to show you that. And because they had two very different hearts, they offered two very different sacrifices. One was received, respected, accepted by God. The other was not. But here's the interesting reality. Although Cain kills Abel, And Abel is the one who dies. It's Abel who still speaks to us. Isn't that what the text says? Through it, that is through his faith, even though he is dead, he is still speaking. His faith is still speaking. That's an encouragement. Now, I'm not saying that any of us will have anything written, certainly not in Scripture, of course, that's finished, but anything else written about our faith. But even if we have nothing written about our faith, if we are living by faith, God records that. God sees, because he sees the heart. That's an encouragement to know that our lives matter. And as we live by faith, they matter. I'm sure Abel, when he was offering the sacrifice and all that was going on, wasn't thinking, hey, this is great. Kansas City, 2024, some pastor's going to be telling people about my faith. And yet, here we are hearing about the faith of Abel, who, although he is dead, still speaks to us. So what I want you to see this evening is that Abel's faith is a living illustration of how we must approach God. There is a right way to approach God, but most importantly, there is a right heart. A right heart by which we must approach God. So the first thing that we need to know is that Abel's faith teaches that we must approach God in the right way. Now both Cain and Abel offered sacrifices. They brought an offering to God. What are we told? Genesis 4:2. In the process of time, it came to pass. Cain and Abel have grown up. Adam and Eve have raised them. We're not told, but Adam and Eve, I'm sure, told them about God and about what had happened and instructed them. Somehow they knew that they were to bring offerings to God. And so they bring offerings to God. We're told that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground, but that Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. They both brought offerings, but only Abel's was respected by God. Only Abel's was accepted by God. In fact, that's why Cain gets angry. Cain knows that Abel's was accepted or respected by God and his was not. Now we might ask the question, how is that? How did Cain know that God had respected his brother's sacrifice and not his own? We're not told. But something had to happen that would have shown Cain that his offering was not accepted and Abel's was. Now according to ancient Jewish tradition, God's acceptance of Abel's offering was given when it was consumed by fire. Now, we're not told that in Scripture, but there is precedent for that. Think about Moses and Aaron's sacrifice recorded for us in Leviticus chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out and blessed the people. Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people, and fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat of the altar. When all the people saw it, they shouted it and fell on their faces. Think of Solomon's offering at the dedication of the newly built temple. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Think of Elijah's offering on Mount Carmel. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God, the Lord, He is God." Well, something happened, and it very, very likely that God would have visibly acknowledged His receiving or respecting of Abel's sacrifice, perhaps by fire. And in doing so, we read in Hebrews 11, verse 4, that Abel, through the faith by which he offered the sacrifice, obtained witness that he was righteous. That was his nickname in the church, Righteous Abel. Jesus says that. What a name to be known by. Righteous Abel. Oh, I know which Abel you're talking about. Yes, he was murdered by his brother, but God himself said, now that is high witness when God says that about you. He said that Abel was righteous. Not only does God say it by receiving and respecting his sacrifice, but we're told actually in Genesis chapter 4 that before God received his sacrifice or respected his sacrifice, he actually respected Abel. We'll get to that in a minute. He respected Abel and his gift. And so God then respects Abel and his offering, but not Cain's. In fact, Abel has the well-known nickname, Righteous Abel. Do you know what Cain is known as in Scripture? 1 John 3:12, he's known as the wicked one who murdered his brother. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be known as Righteous Abel than the wicked one who murdered his brother. And those who follow his evil example are known as those who have gone in the way of Cain, Jude 11. Now it's interesting. Who was older, Cain or Abel? Cain was older. Isn't that the pattern we see in Scripture? We see Cain and Abel. We see Ishmael and Isaac. We see Esau and Jacob. Even as we read earlier, we see, we're not told of age here, but the Pharisee who was of a higher social status and the tax collector. Or what about in the parable of the two sons, the elder brother and the prodigal son? Here we have the older brother persecutes the younger brother and kills him. John Owen says the second son of Adam is the first son of promise. The first person to be killed for Christ, and this at the hands of his brother. So we have here the first recorded martyr for his faith in Abel. Now, Abel's sacrifice was respected, that is, accepted by God. But the question remains, why was Abel's offering a more excellent sacrifice? That's what we see again in Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, there's a couple of explanations that are given for this. The first one is that it was the type of sacrifice offered. And the argument goes like this. Cain offered of the fruit of the ground, but Abel offered a blood sacrifice. Abel understood that he was a sinner, that he needed to come before God. Perhaps Adam and Eve had spoken of how God killed the animal and clothed them, not with vegetation, but with animal skins. He knew he had to come because he knew he was a sinner. He knew he had to come and bring a blood sacrifice. Or it could be that Abel offered his first and best. We're told that, aren't we? We think about back in Genesis chapter 4, we read that he offered the first of his flock and the fat thereof. But Cain, we're told, offered simply an offering of the fruit. Not his first, not his best. Now certainly that's a principle. When we bring things to God, let us bring our first, let us bring our best. So it could be that the type of sacrifice offered is why it was a more excellent sacrifice. Because either Abel offered his first and his best, unlike Cain, or Abel offered a blood sacrifice as atonement for sin. I think there's certainly something to be said, particularly for the reality of a blood sacrifice. But the most important thing, and I believe this is the main point, is that Abel's sacrifice or offering was received because he was received himself. Because his heart was righteous right before God. And that's what we see in the text here. We see by faith, this is key, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which faith he obtained witness that he was righteous. You see, it's the idea of the heart of the one offering the sacrifice, not necessarily the sacrifice that is offered. Abel's heart was right before God. Cain's was not. We see that in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, God, speaking to Cain after his sacrifice or his offering was rejected. He says in verse 7, if you do well, will you, not your offering, but will you be accepted. And so the issue there was not that Abel offered this acceptable sacrifice and Cain did not, but that Abel was himself accepted by God, and therefore his offering was accepted by God. We might put it like this: Abel was a converted worshiper. Cain was not. Now it's interesting, they both worshiped, didn't they? They both offered a sacrifice, but only one was received. Cain, we might put it like this too. Cain came to worship because it was what was expected of him. Abel came to worship because he loved God and he knew that he needed him. And so that brings us to our second point. Not only does Abel's faith teach us that we must approach God in the right way, the way he has prescribed, and certainly after the fall he had prescribed that we must come by way of sacrifice. We'll get to that later when we think about the sacrifice that all sacrifices point to. But Abel's faith also teaches us that we must approach God with the right heart, because God sees the heart. We learn that in 1 Samuel 16:7. The Lord does not see as man sees. Remember, Samuel has come. He looks at Eliab, David's older brother, and he says, "That's him. That's the one who's going to be king." Samuel should have learned. He looked at Saul that way, and he said, "Man, he's a head taller than anybody. I'm picking that guy. That guy's the guy." Now, God had selected Saul, yes. But Samuel comes and thinks Eliab is the guy, and God has to correct Samuel. And God tells Samuel, "I don't see as a man sees. I look at the heart, not the outward appearance." And God knew Abel's heart. God knew that Abel was well aware of his sinfulness. God knew that Abel was trusting in God for his salvation. But God also knew Cain's heart. He knew that Cain's heart was rebellious. Again, we see that in Genesis. Back in Genesis chapter 4, God graciously gives Cain a warning before he kills his brother. Verse 6 of chapter 4, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen?'" Now God knew, but he asked this question to get Cain to think about what was causing him to be angry. And then he gives him this opportunity. He says, "If you do well," that is, if you follow the example of the faith of your brother and you approach me by faith, "if you do well, will you not be accepted as your brother Abel is accepted?" But then he gives the warning, "If you do not do well, sin lies at the door and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it." And we know which way Cain went. The very next verse, he rose up against Abel and he killed him. So God knew, though. God knew Abel's heart. God knew Cain's heart. And I think there's an important application for us. You see, how we come is just as important as that we come. We're all here in worship. But why? What is our heart in coming to worship? You see, both Cain and Abel offered something to God. But God only respected Abel's. Now the question remains, why did God respect Abel's? Well, I would put it to you like this. God respected Abel's offering because it was a testimony to what was already in Abel's heart. Abel came and offered this by faith. Again, that's the theme, by faith. Abel was already righteous in God's sight. Abel was already received by God. Abel understood his need for God. Abel understood that he was a sinner. Abel understood that he deserved condemnation. But Abel came with a heart that looked to God for all that he needed. Cain was not already righteous. He was already condemned in God's sight. He had no faith. And the illustration or the application for us is simply this. We can come and we can offer praise to God. We can offer money to God, we can offer time to God, we can do works that conform to God's revealed will. We can serve as a Sunday school teacher, we can serve as a deacon, we can serve as an elder, we can serve as a pastor. But here's the reality. These actions will be no more acceptable to God than was Cain's offering if our heart is not right before Him. They will not be respected. And so then I think the question comes to mind, well, how is it then? How is it that we can be right before God? How is it that Abel was right before God? How is it that we can be right before God? Well, we go back to the main theme, by faith. By faith. You see, our acceptance only comes by faith in God's provision. And what does that mean for us? It means faith. For Abel, it meant faith in the one who was to come, the Messiah. The one who was, and we're not told this, but Adam and Eve may have said, Abel, let me tell you about God's promise that He gave to us after we sinned. He promised to send a seed of the woman that would crush the seed of the serpent. And Abel placed his faith in God's promise. And so we also do that. We have much more, though, to go on, don't we? Christ has come. The evil one has been defeated. And so our acceptance comes by faith in Jesus Christ. We might put it this way, our hearts must be cleansed by the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than that of Abel. That's really the main difference. Both of these brothers brought a sacrifice. But only one was respected by God. And the main difference is that Abel came to God by faith. Cain did not. Both were doing what God had commanded, bring an offering. But God doesn't look at the outside. God sees the heart. And I'm sure again that Abel, when he was offering this sacrifice to God, with a heart that was already righteous in God's sight, he was a converted individual. He had no idea that his faith would be being talked about. 2024 here in Kansas City. But as we have seen, Abel's faith speaks, doesn't it? That's what it says here. God testifying of his gifts, probably through consuming them by fire, and through it, his faith, he, although he is dead, you see, Cain could kill Abel, but Cain could not quench the testimony of Abel's faith. What a great comfort that is to us. We may be persecuted for our faith, but that will not destroy our testimony. It will not destroy the work of God. Cain could not kill the memory of Abel. So Abel's faith, which was demonstrated, his heart and his faith was demonstrated by his offering to God, still speaks to us today, even though Abel is dead. Here's what Luther says about it. Luther says that Abel, who when he was alive could not even teach his own brother by his faith, now that he is dead, teaches the whole world. What a statement. Cain didn't learn the lesson. God said to Cain, Cain, if you do well, if you come to me by faith the way your brother did, will you not be accepted? And Cain wouldn't listen. Let us not be like Cain. Let us learn from Abel. Let us learn to approach God by faith alone. That's the way he's been approached throughout history. There is no other way to approach God. Anything else is hypocrisy. It's coming with an outward veneer, but our heart is not right with God. Anything else is, as it says in the New Testament, going the way of Cain. And we see where that way ends. But Abel's faith speaks. It teaches us. We must approach God in the right way. God ordains that all men approach Him by sacrifice. Of course, we know what that sacrifice is, the Lord Jesus Christ. But most importantly, we must approach God with the right heart. It's one thing to know that Jesus died for sinners. It's another thing to believe that Jesus died for me. That's what our catechism says. What is true faith? It is not only a sure knowledge where I accept as true all that God has revealed in his word, but it is a hearty trust that not only to others, but to me also. You see the personal nature. It's a hearty trust that not only to others, but to me also. Cain did not have that trust in God. One commentator said that Cain, in offering of the fruit of the ground, saw God as creator and preserver and was thankful for his earthly life. But Abel, offering a blood sacrifice, saw God as not only creator and preserver, but also redeemer. And he knew that he needed atonement. And that's the way we come by faith. And here's the reality. By faith in Christ, we can come to God and be accepted by him. Was Abel a sinner? Sure. Did Abel do things to annoy his older brother? I'm sure. But Abel was accepted by God. Not because of who Abel is, but because of who Christ is. Because of faith. You see, Abel was regenerated by the Spirit. He was cleansed by Christ. He was justified, and so are we who come to Christ. And here's the beautiful thing. Abel would have seen this. Abel would have known that God had respected his sacrifice, probably by God consuming it with fire. We're not told exactly. But we have also, we have a divine testimony of God's acceptance of Christ and that he raised him from the dead and he has ascended into heaven where he sits at the right hand of God. How do we know that Christ's sacrifice has been accepted in our place? Simply that he didn't remain in the tomb. That he was raised to newness of life. That's a far better testimony by God that he has respected the sacrifice that Christ has made for us. And therefore, that we are accepted in Jesus Christ. Whereas the scripture says, we are accepted in the beloved. What a great statement. Remember that. When you sin, and you come to God and you confess your sins, you remember that you are accepted in the beloved. You are accepted in Christ. And then what we do now through Jesus Christ is also accepted by God. We're not going to do things perfectly. Even in our worship here, our minds wander. Our hearts are not settled. But what we do by faith in Jesus Christ who has done all things perfectly. And so not only are we in our persons, in our union with Christ, accepted by God, but also all that we do, sin accepted, of course, all these things that we do in obedience to God, even though they are imperfect, they are also accepted by God. And that's a great comfort. And so does Abel speak to us? Absolutely. Abel encourages us to, by faith, offer to God a more excellent sacrifice to obtain that witness from God that in Christ we are righteous. And I pray that our lives will continue to speak to others of the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. God, we ask that you would encourage our hearts to seek you by faith, to recognize that we don't come as those who deserve your favor. It is unmerited by us, but that Christ has purchased for us all that we need. We thank you for the testimony of Abel. We pray that you will continue to provide us with the faith that we need so that we can serve you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.